There have been some requests to comment, to share a perspective on the hostage deal. So, Glenn Adler, Ezra Hashem, I'm going to try to do so, and for two reasons. Number one, in its own right, it's obviously something of great importance and something which concerns every one of us. But even more than that, to maybe relate to it and use it as a test case in the interface of halacha and politics and what room and role there is for a Torah perspective in such situations. Rabbonim, teachers of Torah, in whatever guise, you know, obviously should and Baruch Hashem do provide the direction and guidance in matters of Torah in Yonei Halacha. But on the other hand, they should not express their political preferences or political opinions. And that's so for two reasons. First of all, because a teacher, a malamed, never really steps out of that association. And when he speaks, and al achas kama v'kama, if it's a rav speaking from the pulpit, if it's a malamed speaking in the classroom, so even if there are disclaimers attached, but he speaks qua rav, qua malamed, and politics is beyond his area of expertise. It's second of all, when Rabbonim identify, let's say, be it with a certain political candidate or a certain political party, so they become partisan, and that inevitably, lemechtza l'shlitzo l'reviya, or maybe even more, can and will interfere with their functioning as a rav, in their ability to teach, to guide, to inspire, to counsel. If there's distance which is created because of the polarizing effect of political disagreements, so then that interferes with the malamed, with the rav, carrying out his job and his function of, again, teaching, guiding, directing, counseling. Some issues are political. Other issues, albeit that they become thoroughly politicized, are really religious issues. They're really halachic issues. Right? So one obvious example of that in Western society is abortion. Abortion is a very hotly contested political issue in the political arena, but it's not a political issue. It's a religious issue that has been politicized. And certainly it's very much within the province of a malamed, of a rav, to teach that. You know, abortion is also for Bnei Noach as well. And you know, that's unequivocal. But many issues, maybe we should say most issues, are complicated web of halacha and politics. And here, we need to be very careful to separate out, to isolate the halachic elements from the political elements, and that a malambid, anyone who's associated with Torah, should be very careful with a surgical precision to be talking about the halachic elements, not about the political elements. And that's true as regards the recent hostage deal. Again, to begin by just reiterating the obvious, you know, every Jewish heart has been bleeding since that Shemini Atzeres at the plight and fate of the hostages. That's not what we're talking about. That's a given. It's something that we all feel for ourselves and know about each other. No one can be impervious or apathetic to the living Gehenna of being held by such savages. But since Shmini Atzeres, since the Milchama began, the debate in the political arena was what the number one priority of Medinas Yisrael, and therefore Tzahal in executing and implementing the policy, what the number one priority was supposed to be. Was the number one priority securing the release of the hostages? Or was the number one priority destroying Hamas? Because obviously there was and Yitachin still is to a large degree an irreconcilable tension and conflict between those two goals. So that issue as to what the priority should be, again, it's thoroughly politicized, but is a halachic issue. And it is an issue that halacha speaks to clearly. And halacha prioritizes pikuach nefesh of the rabbim over pikuach nefesh of the yachid, with all the rachmanim, bashanim, gomri, chasodim notwithstanding. But pikuach nefesh of the rabbim is always prioritized over pikuach nefesh of the yachidim. If the reality of securing the release of the hostages is that entails ending the Milchama prematurely and leaving Hamas intact to Rahman al-Itzlan, live and fight another day and perpetrate Rahman al-Itzlan, one doesn't even want to finish the sentence. So pikuach nefesh of the rabbim has a din kedima over pikuach nefesh of yechidim. Pikuach nefesh of the millions and millions of Jews in Medinas Yisrael has a din kedima over the pikuach nefesh, Hashem Yirachem, of yechidim who are being held under such horrific, life-threatening conditions. That's one halachic, I think, unambiguous, unequivocal guideline. The other one is that, as you know, the Mishnah in Gittin says that ein podenus hashvuim yesal kedei demehem, that one is not allowed to ransom shvuim. The Maimon Chazal of ein lecha mitzvah gedola kepidyon shvuim, notwithstanding, one has to be very careful when one reads or hears when there's cherry picking of Ma'amarei Chazal. Torah is a mikshah achas. One can't cherry pick a single maimer without comprehensively bringing to bear all the relevant sources in Torah. So ein lecha mitzvah gedola kepidyon shvuyim, notwithstanding. So the Mishnah says that in podens hashvuyim yesa kadei demehem. The Gemara suggests as an ibaya two possible reasons for that. And one of it is because it incentivizes them to be mosa nefesh, to take more shvuyim. You know, Chazal don't need empirical verification, but obviously, unfortunately, we all know that there is empirical verification available for what Chazal b'chokhmasam understood. See, the problem lu yehi that when Gilad Shalit had been held captive, if someone could have not only posted his picture, and it was obviously a bitter rachmanus on him, but if someone could have posted the pictures of all the people who would be taken hostage on October 7th, people would have reacted differently. But obviously, you couldn't put a face to what Chazal said in Masechet Gittin. And because of that, when we react emotionally, as opposed to having halacha guide our emotions, and then emotions help energize us after halacha has identified the goalposts. But when we're led by emotions, so we see the pictures now. What Chazal talked about in terms of what the result is going to be of incentivizing, so by definition, we can't see that. We don't see that. So we react emotionally. We react subjectively. And to say things clearly, misplaced rachmanis, albeit coming from a very good place in a person's heart, can end up playing out as achzoris. Misplaced rachmanis in a whole variety of contexts, misplaced rachmanis can play out as achzorius. And that's what Chazal say. Is it a rachmanus on the shavui? Absolutely. There are no words to describe. No words to describe, and it's, as much as we try, it's impossible to imagine. The only one who understands what they're going through are those who were there. But that notwithstanding, Chazal say, when our sworn enemies see what the value of a shavui is, so they're incentivized to take more shvuyim. So that means that the rachmanis now, down the road, is an achzoris. So it's a hard truth, but it's a truth. So, but both of those perspectives, those are not political perspectives. Those are halachic perspectives. The priority of pikuach nefesh of the rabbim, if a hostage deal entails ending the milchama prematurely and short-circuiting the goal of destroying Hamas, assuming that one feels that is otherwise attainable, otherwise realistic. And number two, the ein podin sashvuyin yesa kadei demehen, because of, again, and that's even without talking about what are the prisoners whose hands are dripping with blood, what they're going to do once they're released. Now, does that mean that the Israeli government, from a halachic perspective, acted wrongly in agreeing to this deal? So that already, here there's a political variable which Rabbanim should not be commenting on. What would the consequences have been in terms of future American support if they had bucked the intense pressure to which they were subjected? And right, we're all aware of just how intense that pressure had to have been. So what's the right thing in light of that pressure? That already depends upon a political assessment. A political assessment. And that's why Yitachen, the fact that the halachic priorities are prioritizing pikuach nefesh of the rabbin over pikuach nefesh of the yachid, and the fact that in podinus ashvu yemesa al kedei demehem, but does that translate into that we think or we know that the hostage deal was wrong? No, it doesn't translate. Because here there's a political assessment of what would the price have been to say no. That already depends upon, we can't know because we're uninformed, in terms of, what was said privately, and not publicized, who knows. And even if we knew everything that was said privately, ultimately that's already a political calculus of what the fallout would have been of saying no. Two other related issues. How do we react to B'chasdei Hashem? Three hostages have been freed. How do we react to that, given that certainly the hostage deal, lechatchila, is not something that, in light of these halachic principles, is not something halacha would have sanctioned, and b'di'evit, given the pressure, so again, we don't know. That's a political calculus. It's not. It's not for us to say. How does that impact our reaction to the freedom of the hostages? Does that mean that our reaction to those hostages who have been and will be freed under the terms of the deal? So is our reaction muted? Is it different than when Tzahal, through a military operation, was able to save them? So the paradigm, l'chora, is that there is a din that if Rahman al-Tzlan, a person hears of, let's say, Rahman al-Tzlan, a son hears of his father's death. So conceivably, he makes two brachas. He makes the brach of dynamis, but he also makes a brach of hatova ametiv and the yerush. That's it. So how is that possible? How is that possible? What we assume that he's so heartless and so cruel and callous that. There's a single event that had two consequences here. One consequence is the father's death, and the other consequence is the Yerusha, And that's sort of shkulim, shkulim keachad. So hedge your bets. You know, it makes a dynamis on the father's demise and hatova ameitiv on his newfound wealth. So shouldn't it be that obviously, on the whole, this is just such an overwhelmingly besorah? So what room is there for hatova ameitiv? And yet the halacha is that the individual makes both brachas. He makes a dina emes as well as hatova ameitiv. So the answer is that even though, this is a very, very important yesod, that even though the way both of those, each of those consequences came about, was they were linked, but that linkage is not essential. Really, there were two. It could have been that the father's stock portfolio would have been wiped out a second before he died, and he could have died without leaving Yerusha. It could be that without dying, his stock portfolio would have gone way up, and he would have given a big present to his son. Those two events conceptually and providentially and therefore halachically are separate and unrelated. Hagam, that the way they came into this world was that they were packaged together. Moshel ma'adov adoma. A mailman comes and he brings you a letter you've been waiting for. Okay. I'm showing my age here. There's almost things letters and mailmen. Okay, whatever. So just, you know, humor me, okay? A mailman comes and he delivers two letters. One of them is a letter you've been waiting for a long time from a friend you haven't heard from with an update, or maybe it's an acceptance letter to a school or a job offer. Then he also brings a letter which has a bill from a collection agency. So it was one mail delivery, but you don't decide, you know, that well, I either have to hug the mailman or punch him. No, you do both. You hug him and then you punch him. They were packaged together. It came in the same day as mail, but they're totally separate. The fact that they came in the same mail delivery doesn't mean that they were one and the same. That's a coincidence. And even though it may seem to us as not being a coincidence, providentially, and therefore halachically, it is a coincidence. You need to think about this. And that's why the halacha says, not rachman al-islam, that the person sees a silver lining in the cloud of his father's death, rachman al-islam. No, chas v'shalom, that's not what it is. It's that these are two separate events. The mailman, in the same mail delivery, brought two letters. One of them was a letter that you're thrilled to receive, and the other one is a letter that you dread to receive. So you're excited about the letter, the thrilling letter, and you're devastated by the dreadful letter. You don't sort of have only one reaction. You have both reactions, because providentially, and therefore, halachically, they're separate, even if they come in the same delivery. And that's why the halacha says that the person makes both brachas. He makes a dina emes, and he also makes hatova ameitiv on the Yerusha. So the same is true here. The sense of gratitude and happiness that there are three Benos Yisrael who have been freed from those savages doesn't depend upon knowing whether or not again, at best it was b'di'eved because it was imposed with such pressure and such ominous threats as to what would be if they didn't go along with it, that's not relevant, because providentially and halachically, they're two different events. And therefore the reaction to the freedom of the hostages is not muted, is not adulterated by this context. The other, and with this we'll conclude. Rashi comments in Parshas Noach that when the rain began for the Mabul, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been waiting 120 years for that to be tshuva, and certainly in retrospect, you know, when we date the Mabul, you know, be it to Cheshvan, be it to Iyur, whatever it was, so those first drops of rain were the beginning of the Mabul, but there was still potential, if they would have done tshuva then, for that turn out to be Gishmei Bracha. Through tshuva and tefillah, we have the capacity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redefine what happened. And even if it's already happened, even if the clouds have already burst, but there's still potential to convert it into Gishmei Bracha. It doesn't mean that now, inexorably, it's Mei HaMabul. And it's certainly, I mean, it's always true, but it's true in this context as well. Whether the deal that was forced, and it obviously was forced, upon the Israeli government, how we'll view that in retrospect as a stage in what process, that is still to be determined. And what will determine that is our, speaking obviously in very broadly, is our tshuva and tefillah moving forward. There is, again, that same midah. It can be gishmei bracha, it can be mei mabul. There is the midah vayafach Hashem lokecha l'chas haklalo bracha. Even when something happened, which b'shaito, when Bilam first conceives the thoughts of what he's going to say, it's a klala. And yet that becomes the basis for bracha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it. And that's what, through our Torah and Tefillah, we have the opportunity and therefore the obligation to be lobbying for.